Fuck yeah, intro music. I forgot how this works again. Oh, that's right, yeah. We have a podcast. Hey. We really got to get our sounds on there.
Yeah, we really have to do our own sounds. Fine. You know what? You're not going to step up to the plate. No, you want to continue being a co-host?
Yeah, where's the plate? Pass the plate.
Josh. We sat down and watched a movie this week. Did we watch?
The Black Phone.
Absolutely, we did. Yeah. Do you want to like pull up the dock?
Oh yeah, it's in
my yeah. Pull up the dock. You've got the phone. Okay. Cool. The Black Phone.
Yeah.
Ethan Hawke, Mason Thames. Do you want to give me the synopsis before we get into the nitty gritty of it?
First time I read this is Finney, but his name's Finney.
Yeah, Finney.
A shy but clever 13-year-old boy is abducted by a sadistic killer and trapped in a soundproof basement where screaming is of little use. When a disconnected phone on the wall begins to ring, Finney discovers that he can hear the voices of the killer's previous victims, and they are dead set on making sure that whatever happened to them doesn't happen to Finney.
They are dead set.
I like the little joke there.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Directed by Scott Derrickson.
Right on.
I was going to say Scott Dickinson. Scott Derrickson, written by Scott Derrickson and C. Robert Cargill.
Yeah.
And for some reason, Rotten Tomatoes has him twice.
I was just confused by that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The budget is $18 million. Now for essentially a two-person movie.
Yeah.
For 80% of it.
Yes.
That's a pretty high budget.
Yeah.
With only like one, two, maybe three sets. That's a pretty high budget. 18 million.
Yeah.
I think 17 million of that went to Ethan Hawke. The guy's worth it. The guy's worth it. But tell me how much it made back in the box office.
All right. Everyone at home listening to this, make sure you're sitting down. Because it's made $120 million. And it got released this year in Australia.
Yep,
because last year when it was released in 2021, it was during our last major lockdown.
Mm,
So we weren't getting movies. No one was buying movies to put in cinemas. So they rebought it. So that's to this day.
Yeah, that's not including...
That's not including Australia's re-release.
I think Europe as well just had their recent release for it. So that's not including... I wouldn't call us a major demographic, but definitely one of them.
We're a large consumer.
Oh, absolutely.
We are a good percentage of the movie's consumption.
That's true. That's true. But yeah, like that's 120 million just in, you know, a couple select continents.
Yeah.
All right. Do you want to get into the nitty-gritties?
So it's based on a book by Joe Hill. Called The Black Phone. It said short story.
Yeah, in the cinema. It is a short story.
Yeah.
I've just written down book.
Close enough. Also, Joe Hill also made the comic series Lock and Key, which I didn't know, which is a Netflix series, which I have watched season one, but not season two.
Yeah, I haven't gotten around to watching season two. I thought season one was all right. Like, the story's good.
You told me to watch it.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, it's good, but it's not like... It's not like The Boys where I'm watching it weekly.
Yeah,
week.
Yeah.
It's not like...
It's a sit down with your missus kind of binge
chill.
Four or five episodes.
I wouldn't even put it on the same plane as like Umbrella Academy.
Nah.
Like that a new season for Umbrella Academy comes out, I rewatch everything leading up to the new season and then binge the new season.
Yeah, Lock and Key is more of a side thing.
Yeah,
it's got good themes. I love the base theme of it with the keys and magic and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so he does good work.
I actually do want to get around to reading the comic of it.
He does good work.
Now, we've been trying to do some talking points for these.
Yeah.
And we've decided on three each. Yeah. I put mine in the doc like a nice, decent human being.
Doc wasn't made last night when I was going to bed. Actually, no, I was on my way to the car after watching the movie in a cinema. Because we saw it. You got it on your computer.
Yeah,
you purchased the file and...
So what I did was use a VPN to go to the American Amazon Prime and rent it from there.
Smart. Yeah. Whereas because it was re-released, I called you to double check it was the same movie after I booked it, by the way.
Oh, nice. So you're just going to go see a movie and go, fuck, man, we've got to talk about this one now.
Yeah, pretty much. I was certain. I was like 99.9% certain. And on the way to the car, I'm talking to the missus and I'm writing points. She's like, you know you're driving, right? I'm like, wait, woman, I've got to write this shit. Got to do business.
Couldn't have, like, pulled over?
Oh, no, we were in the parking lot still.
Oh, right, yes. Okay.
So I got them on my own little personal doc.
Oh, nice. All right, well, let's go over your three first.
Want to go over my three?
Yeah.
So the
super... you had the cinema experience, you know?
I may be on crack, but did the crack in the wall get bigger?
That was not what I was expecting at all.
So there's a crack.
Yeah.
That's about, it's phone high and it goes from the sides of the phone.
It's got like red rust.
It looks like rust.
Yeah.
The first couple of scenes you see, it appears to only go to the right about halfway on the right wall. Mm. By the end of it, the crack does the whole circumference. That's how it appears.
I didn't even notice that.
So Jesus. I'm thinking that as he starts doing certain things, this is going to lead into my second thing. As he starts doing tasks that the, we'll call them friends.
Yeah, the other kids.
The spirits and whatever, the people on the phone tell him, as he starts doing those tasks, it's like the crack gets bigger, as if like he's breaking down the wall. He's breaking.
Yeah, and I was going to say, maybe he's talking to the kids in reverse order of death.
No, it's kind of mixed.
But it's, yeah, the first two he talks to is the second last.
Yeah.
And then the latest before him is the last voice he talks to.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
Yeah, it wasn't until the end I was like, is that crack getting bigger? And if it is, that's a nice little fucking thing there. But you didn't even notice it.
No, I didn't notice it at all. Yeah. But I think there's a lot of things in
could be this movie. The fact that I had...
Yeah, you also had a fuck-off big screen.
Yeah, I had more.
Were they
in
showing
front
it
of
in
me.
IMAX?
Nah.
Oh, okay.
Just event has big cinema screen. And I was literally the front row.
Oh, right. Recliners in... recliners in Ed Park.
If I'm going to Ed Square, I'm getting recliners, my dude.
Fucking oath, man. I mean, you pay an arm for a leg, but...
Yeah.
Arm and a leg.
But that sort of leads into my second thing, you know, with each thing. Each task the spirits or the boys tell him to do leads towards his success at the end.
Fuck. I didn't even fucking think about that.
First guy.
Dig a hole.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Dig a hole. I never got the chance to. You can dig a hole underneath and out. I never got the chance. So he digs a hole. Second boy, I hid some rope. Use that to climb out. Breaks the grate.
Yeah.
Get out.
Yeah.
Third boy tells him to, I believe, not go upstairs.
Yeah.
Don't go upstairs. And then tells him the lock to the code to the lock.
Yeah, the combination lock, yeah.
Then... fourth one, you can break through the wall with the toilet
which
thing.
Which gives him the screws.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The screws to get into the back of the freezer and escape that way.
And the meat for the dog.
Meat for the dog.
Oh, my God.
And then the last one teaches him how to use the phone as a weapon.
Fucking hell.
And what happens? He puts the grate in the hole, covers it over, puts a rope there, trips the fucker down the hole. He breaks his ankle, beats him over the head with the phone, and then uses it to end it. Doubles back, gets some meat, feeds the dog, off he goes.
Fucking hell.
Each step, and it was not until the freezer that I went, are each of these boys giving him like their way, what they wanted to do to get out? And as a culmination, this is how he's going to get out?
Maybe. Like,
again.
That's a really good theory. I really, really like that.
That's what I was thinking. Is it? It's exactly what happened. They're like, I want to do this, I want to do this, I want to do this. And then together, quite literally together, they succeed.
Even at the end, he lets the kids talk to him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking hell. And I really like that last scene where he's beating Ethan Hawke up with the phone. the whole thing of the Latin American kid, Robin's teaching him, you know, like, step forward, fast step back.
Step forward, swing.
Yeah, step forward, swing. Every time Ethan Hawke goes to grab him, he does that little maneuver.
Until Ethan Hawke realizes it, and he changes his movement.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's where he grabs him.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Man, that's insane.
I don't have this as a note. But his sister, her dreams and stuff.
Yeah.
I was talking to my missus about this little theory. The cops had nothing.
Pretty much.
Like, they pretty much say, like, and then they find out...
They had a little bit, like, they knew he had a van, they knew he used black balloons.
Yeah, but essentially they had no major leads that... What's called? Van,
yeah.
Balloons. Yeah. So I'm thinking, this is set in the 80s, I believe. 78. So it's set in the 70s.
Well, actually, 78, but there might be a little bit of a time skip.
Might be.
Because I want to say when he's playing baseball at the opening scene, it opens on 78. All those, like, the...
Maybe a year. Might be 79, 80.
Maybe,
like,
but, like, he's batting against Bruce, the Asian kid. And then in the next scene we see Bruce, he looks older.
Yeah, he does.
So I thought maybe that was a way of showing a thing. Very quickly, speaking of, like, subtle things in this movie, like the crack in the wall, in that opening theme, in that opening scene, he's looking over to the chick he likes.
Yeah.
And she's holding a bottle with the label facing towards the camera that says crush. Like, pretty obvious shit, but I thought that, like, little things like that I really enjoy in movies.
But, yeah, I was talking to the missus about... I forgot what my point was.
That's fine. Cut it.
Oh, well. Yeah, I told my missus about, like, his sister.
Yeah.
And that their relationship, how different it is. Oh, no, sorry, the police. That's it. The police were grasping at straws. They're like, we have nothing, we have nothing. Then she tells Bruce's sister that she had a dream about Bruce and black balloons. He's like, how do you know about balloons? Tell me what you know. They're getting aggravated. Her dad gets mad. I'm going to leave it at that. And it turns out her mum was, let's say, touched, because that's what they said back then, had dreams, visions, all that sort of stuff. The cops had nothing. So they were like, all right, maybe her dreams, we don't care how she gets this information. Maybe they're true.
Just
maybe,
follow it up. It's the only lead.
Maybe
we have.
She's seeing stuff in her peripheral vision and doesn't
kids
realize.
Kids do that. You can rationalize that.
Yeah.
What, super easy. Maybe she saw a black van, a couple of balloons, and put two and two together.
Yeah. And then
in a dream, you
know? She goes, hey, she keeps having these dreams. She's seeing each and every single boy that's helping him as she has a dream. Yeah. They're helping him, like side by side kind of thing. It's just the way the movie rolls.
Absolutely. Yeah.
She's seeing a dream of that boy, what happened to him kind of thing. That boy happens to be helping her brother. It's like they're helping each other.
Yeah, especially the only time we actually follow her dream with her is the last one with the blonde-haired boy that's like leads her to the house.
Yeah.
And
then she rushes to the coppers.
Yeah.
Robin doesn't go to her.
Robin.
The last, very, very last one. I don't think she has a dream of Robin.
I don't think she has a dream of Robin.
Yeah.
No.
But, yeah, she rushes to that house, gets scared by the ghosts. Mm. There's about four major jump scares. In the cinema, obviously, loud says, brah.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I'd say, three or four, because although Finn can't see the ghost talking to him, we can, you know, hindsight of the camera, like, they're in the room with him.
Yeah.
And they're able to every now and again pierce the veil through this disconnected phone. Super creepy.
Yeah.
Especially the one in the night, the kid with his throat slit, hanging upside down. Yeah. That was pretty fucking creepy.
That was fucked.
And I don't know.
That's some Sixth Sense shit right there.
Fucking oath. Well, it's like the Finn's not caring. Like, it's not that the ghosts scare him. He does get scared by them, but he understands they're all doing something that can help him.
Yeah.
So,
at first he was like, no, I'm not answering, answering. And then Ethan Hawke's character can also hear the phone, which is why it's in a soundproof room.
Yes.
But he refuses to hear it. Like, he's like, it doesn't work, I've answered it. So, he can hear the phone, but he can't hear the other side.
Yeah.
Which I think maybe his mum was gifted and both her children got her gift in a different way.
Max and Ethan Hawke.
No.
The man, Finn's mom.
Finn's mom. I think maybe she was gifted and both her children, Finn and his sister, was it Debbie?
No. Gwen. Gwenny.
Gwenny,
yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, yep.
They got the gift, but different ways.
Yeah, she gets dreams, and he's able to use conduits to contact the outside. Yeah.
Good movie.
I mean, there's the, even the ghosts say, like, Finn asks, has the phone rung before? He goes, yeah, it rang for all of us, but none of us could hear it.
Yeah.
It's like, how insane is that? Like, every kid is trying to help the current one. They just had to wait for someone to hear it. That's insane. It's very, very good.
I'm going to say, who was it? Scott Derrickson, who one of the writers. And, hell no, let's take it back to Joe Hill.
Yeah, well, he wrote the short story.
Joe Hill, he thought about it. Like,
yeah.
Consequence. This action's going to happen. This is the consequence. You want to move on to your points?
Did you have one more?
Yeah, just how sick the mask looked, the modular mask.
Oh, yeah, that's one of my points too.
Yeah.
Get into it. So my points are, I'm not a fan of kid actors, but Mason Thames, holy shit. This movie is pretty much 100% him. Like, I think we said at the start, it's like 80% Ethan Hawke and Mason Thames.
Yeah.
But when Ethan Hawke isn't there, it's Mason Thames.
It honestly feels like Ethan Hawke is a supporting character
in this. Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's about Finny.
Yeah, yeah.
It's about him in this room.
Front and center. And every time you hear, like, promotion interviews for movies, it's like, oh my God, how'd you do this? You know, like, 127 hours with what's his name?
James Franco.
That's it. Like, that movie is 100% him, and they're incredibly difficult to film because if you don't have
anyone to talk to.
Pretty much,
you're not playing against yourself,
yeah. And that's very challenging. And I think Mason Thames did that fucking fantastically. Of course, there's some scenes where the ghosts are there and he's, like, not paying attention to them as the character.
He did that very well, too. There were scenes where the ghosts were right in his face.
And he's not looking at them. He's looking past them. Oh. It's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
In the cinema, my wife leaned over to me and she goes, does he not see them? And I'm like, I don't think so.
No, well,
because the way he played that, he walked in front and he was still looking dead center, person.
Right across. He didn't his eyes didn't even track.
No.
But also, all of these ghosts, when they speak, they sound like they're coming from an old phone.
Yeah.
So that was a very, like, that was a big key for me to go, they're not actually in the room.
I like that.
Yeah,
feature.
It was very, very nice.
It was more of, seeing them was more of visual representation for us, the viewer.
Yeah.
Of who, so we can put a face to the voice, that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think to give these actors a little bit more screen time. Yeah.
And maybe to show what happened to them.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
that they are dead kind of thing.
What was it? The one jump scare where it's all the lights are off and it's the kid bleeding out, hanging upside down.
Yeah.
He just points at the window. I don't think we heard his voice because his throat is completely split.
You hear... and then bloop, bloop, bloop.
Right,
bloop.
Yeah.
That was the loud... In the cinema, that was the loudest thing. You were hearing like a loud thud of the blood dripping.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that was only very slightly on IMAX.
Again... Base up to 11 in cinemas.
Fucking oath, yeah. I'm pretty sure those recliners have base in the chair.
I fucking hope so.
Like, it's...
That'd be worth the money then.
Fucking oath. I'm still paying that off. My next point is, although it's proven it's all supernatural, I think... I would like to think that this was Finny's mind helping him out. Kind of like the hallucination woman in Daniel Radcliffe's Jungle.
Like a...
survival instinct.
Yeah, like a bout of insanity, like that momentary insanity where you hallucinate and create fake things so you can push forward.
And the only thing I have to back that up is Finny was following this case. Like he knew every child's name. He knew everything about these kids.
He at least knew of, because the paper boy... calls him Paper Boy because he doesn't want to be called his name.
Yeah.
He didn't know him personally.
But he knew of him. Yeah.
And that, because Mercer says, she's like, he knew all of them. I was like, he didn't know Paper Boy. He was in the shop with the big tough guy.
Yeah.
but he knew of Paperboy, like going to school. You see someone from school and it's like, oh, hey, do we go to the same school? It's like, oh my God, it's you, this person I went to the school with but never ever spoke to.
Yeah, absolutely.
That kind of thing.
And little things like Robin, before he gets kidnapped, gets into a fight. And that whole step back, fast step forward swing, he does that in every punch that the guy throws at him. So that could have been Finny seeing it and go, I'm going to copy
that. Knowing that person well enough. He went to school with Bruce. Like, knowing that person well enough, what would they do?
The
big bully guy, what would he do? He'd brute force his way through a wall.
Yeah.
Because he's a big, tough guy.
Yeah, so what can I do to get through a wall? Toilet lid.
Yeah.
Which the voice on the phone doesn't even tell him to do.
No, it just says there's a fridge on the other side.
There's a fridge on the other side. Beat through that wall.
Get through that wall. Yeah. Take the plugs off. Oh, the screws out and you'll be in a fridge. Get out that way.
Mm.
I tried. They all said they tried.
Yeah. I think...
There's no way he repaired that room.
No.
Because they all played the game Naughty Boy.
Yeah. That's the thing. He can't kill you unless you play the game. Yeah. Or he gets fed up with you.
Yeah. But, wow, that's why I liked Finny.
Yeah, exactly. But it was... what did Bruce do? He dug, but apparently didn't have enough time to dig up. So he was on the other side of the wall, but couldn't... Yeah, where was the hole? It couldn't have been filled in and then retiled, because those tiles were old. And Bruce was a recent killing. Obviously, Robin tried to fight back, so he would have played Naughty Boy.
Yeah, he would have walked up into that. And be like, oh, let's do it, big boy.
Yeah, he would try and throw a punch.
So why weren't there cuts and bruises and scratches? He would have had.
Yeah,
because it was like a week or he was missing a week or two before.
Yeah. It goes Robin, then Finn is the next one to get taken. So yeah, you're right. Why all of these little things? Why wasn't?
I'm getting onto your point. I'm agreeing with your survival thing. He knows the people well enough.
I'm gonna fuck myself over. Because the combination was still scratched into the wall. There's no way he would have known that combination.
Yeah, true.
But
maybe the kid did write the combination, but somehow he was like, well, you know, he saw it and he's like, that's what that combination
is. Yeah, remember these numbers kind of thing. Yeah, these numbers must be important. But
this is more of a theory of to explain it outside the supernatural.
Absolutely.
Take away the supernatural thing. The themes, this is how you would explain it.
Yeah, absolutely. And the last point I have on the mask.
Yeah.
The mask changes were so on point.
Modular mask.
Absolutely. You can
take the bottom off, leave the top on. Take the top off, leave the... And then he's got the sad face for the bottom, the happy face, the straight face.
He's got the no mouth face, which is the first one we see. And that's like...
That's the straight face I'm thinking.
Yeah, that's the base
baseline
face. Then he's got the happy face when he's being playful and jovial and has no interest in hurting him. The sad face when he does something wrong or is all like, that's it, something bad's going to happen. There are some times where he has the top half off and only the bottom half on.
And vice versa.
Yeah, but I thought it was a fantastic way to get a character to walk into a scene. And you, as a viewer, already know what is going through the killer's head without a word being uttered. I think that a lot of those things, a lot of those little niche things that, in the grand scheme, things don't really matter, but they all add up to a fantastic movie.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I love it.
I got chills three times talking about it.
Yeah?
Yeah, I've gotten chills three times.
All right, well, we're hitting that point. We've gone through our points. I want to know your personal score.
Personal score?
Yeah. 0.5 is included out of 10.
I'd probably say 7.5, yeah. I'd recommend it, yep.
Man,
one of the few horror movies I would recommend.
That's true.
But I'm not going to...
also a Blumhouse production.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
They did Friday the 13th, I think. No,
they did...
Halloween.
Halloween, they did The Purge.
Yeah. Because Tamara pointed that out. I didn't see The Purge. She goes, Purge? I was like, oh,
yeah, okay. Yeah. They do a lot of like horror, slasher, thriller stuff.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I enjoyed it. Mm. I wouldn't push them to go see it in the movie. But it is something I would say to someone, if you want to watch a movie with your missus, like a horror, thriller movie with your missus, this is a good movie to do that with.
Yes, because it's not... it's not scary.
No.
Because, yes, there are jump scares, and it's kind of wary or unsure when there's a ghost on screen. But all the ghosts are good.
Yeah.
They're achieving good. They're not trying to hurt good. Him. They want him to survive. They want him to live. So, as a viewer, it's disturbing seeing that on screen. But
you're not scared for the character when the ghosts are around.
Yeah.
Yeah. 7.5 push into an 8.
I think this is an easy 9 for me.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
Holding a cunt at gunpoint. Watching this movie.
Watch this.
Watching the movie.
Yeah. I think
you can take your eyes off twice.
You get one bathroom break.
You get 3 blinks. Eyes open, boy.
Here's your eyedroppers. I'll set him in that scene from The Clockwork Orange.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, I think this is a highly recommended movie.
Yeah.
I think this is an easy, especially if you are telling someone about it and they go, oh, no, I don't like horrors. I don't like thrillers. I really, really don't like horrors. I'm not watching it. That's your point to say, yes, it has horror elements, but it is the complete opposite of scary.
More of a detective movie.
Yeah.
Poor Max.
Poor Max.
Watch if you want to know, find out. Watch out if you want to know what happens to Max.
R.I.P. Max. MVP of the movie. Seriously, he cracked the code just a little bit too late.
See, my missus said to me, how did it take him that long? And I was like... Because he was working through cocaine clarity. He had no clarity. He does that last line, stares at it and goes, fuck.
Wait a minute.
Shit, now I figured it out. Cocaine clarity is a thing. Max proves it.
Yeah, fucking oath. And I love, like, what is this?
The cops.
In the 80s, yeah. So, like, the cops are like, you should probably clean up.
Yeah. Tamara didn't realize, because when they say you should clean up, you just see some, like, pistachio shells around. And she's like, oh, they mean like the mess on the table, some red shells or whatever it is. And then it zooms in on the cocaine.
Oh, yeah, it zooms into 3 like finger-sized lots of cocaine.
And then she's like, oh. And then as we're walking to the car, she's like, why didn't they arrest him? I'm like, it's the 80s, babe.
Yeah.
They didn't care.
Everyone was.
They were on cocaine.
If this, yeah, probably. If this was reality, the 80s, this is the same time Stephen King is locking himself in a room with a mountain of cocaine riding, like, The Shining.
Yeah.
And shit like that. Like, he's just nose-deep, Scarface-style, belting out books. Fuck.
I think he released, like, 3 books in the span of a year.
Yeah, they're all fucking bangers.
You know, apparently, there's a little side thing if people want to... Apparently, all of his books are linked by the Dark Tower.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
I only recently found that out.
It's all in universe, one universe. The
I had no idea until recently.
In the book for It, they talk. Did you watch the new It?
Yeah.
So you know the ritual of Chewed.
Yeah.
Chewed is a interdimensional turtle that is
like
the good of the universe, and It is an interdimensional evil that is everything bad in the multiverse kind of thing.
Okay.
So Chewed kind of imbues the main kid in It with the ritual. Like, he's like, this is how you save your world kind of thing. I think in one of the Dark Tower books, the main character meets the turtle. I don't know. I haven't read the Dark Tower. I don't know much about it. But I want to say, like, if you have those characters in the same universe, they've got to interact.
Yeah.
Especially if the Dark Tower is, like, every book jumping from world to world.
Yeah, it's supposed to be the center. Everything centers on the Dark Tower. Yeah, the Dark Tower is supposed to be the bridge to each.
I have been meaning to read it. You know, I have 5 free Audible credits.
Oh, I use mine the moment I get them.
Yeah, that's fair. And talking about this episode's sponsor, Audible.
I wish.
Audible, hit me up.
I wish.
Listen to that segue. Come on, you know you love us. Okay. We're at the end of the review time. We're catching up with the minutes. I want to go through the critics' consensus for this movie. And there's also an audience says, which is very rare, I've noticed. So the critics' consensus for The Black Phone. The Black Phone might have been more frightening, but it remains an entertaining, well-acted adaptation of a scary source material.
Yeah.
Absolutely, I agree with that. I think it could have been... more horrific,
yeah,
but it didn't need to be, you know, like that's not the story it was telling.
I think the scares came from it's obviously person to person, putting yourself in that child's shoes.
Yeah,
he finally gets out towards the end, he gets chased, runs into the car, and then that fear of having a knife put to your throat,
yeah,
Salvation's right there.
Yeah.
You could scream.
But it...
costs you your life.
Exactly.
What happens?
What would be the point?
Yeah.
You know, like, I think that in that fear same of choice. Position, I would have just kept my mouth shut.
You would have what?
I would have kept my mouth shut.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, like...
that fear of either I die right now or I can survive another day.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, maybe salvation's right there.
Maybe I can escape tomorrow. Or yeah. If he's going to kill me now, maybe I can do something.
Yeah. Maybe I can beat him with a phone in a day or two.
In a day or two. Actually, all the dirt he dug up from that hole...
that fucked the pipes. The
what do you mean?
He flushed a lot of it down the toilet.
Oh, yeah. That fucked the pipes. That fucked the pipes.
Whoever buys that house next has fucked pipes.
Would you like to buy the murder house? Actually, you'd probably get it on a discount.
Get today's, it very cheap. Both of prices, them. The one with the bodies and one with the kids.
Yeah, and today's prices, it'd be a fucking bargain. Maybe you can get it in a package deal.
What you do is you buy the house as a discount, the one with the soundproof room. Yep. Gaming room.
Fucking oath.
Soundproof. Sex dungeon. Never wake it. Oh, sorry, what? I like them both. They're both good.
Put a dividing wall in.
Dividing wall.
Two.
Gaming room. Has,
it's a pretty big room.
You're going to have like some sort of interlock. Let's not get into it. We'll talk about this off. Let's not talk about how we would divide a room that was used to murder children.
That one was used to murder children. Yeah. I was going to say to bury children, but yeah, that one's not soundproof. The audience for the black phone.
Yeah, the black phone. You had it right the first time.
Yeah, I know, but it's like the audience for the black phone. That doesn't really make sense.
Good enough.
Whatever. The audience consensus for the black phone is with a terrific villain, a twisty story stacked with edge of your seat thrills, the black phone is a must watch for fans of suspenseful horror.
Good villain.
Absolutely fantastic villain.
Good villain.
Absolutely. Mate, do you want to play Naughty Boy?
Please no.
You can be Ethan Hawke.
Ooh. Almost had me.
Almost.
Only if you get me that mask.
Mate, I'm thinking about 3D printing one, eh?
You'd have to use your PLA.
Yeah, but what you do is you can, like...
it comes in two parts anyway, so...
yeah, but you'd brush on SLA and cure it, it goes smooth.
That's what
I'm
worried
about. And then you can colour it in, like, bone and stuff. The only thing is, like, unless you primed it or put varnish over it, you'd have fucking cured resin on your face. A lot of people react badly to that. I have some rotten reviews, though.
All right, hit me with one.
Jake Wilson of The Age, Australian, top critic. Let's see if we agree with him. Much of this feels contrived to distract us from the film ultimately appears to be about.
You don't make sense.
Yep.
Contrived from what it's ultimately, but what is it ultimately about?
Much of this feels contrived to distract us from what the film is ultimately about.
What is the film ultimately about?
Yeah,
a guy stealing kids because he was beaten as a child?
All right, so I'm on The Age. This was written 21st of July 2022 and updated at...
that was just the other day.
5:30 a.m.
That was Thursday, the day it came out.
Yep, this guy gives him 2 stars. Oh, God, it's a full article. I'm not reading that.
Yeah, no. No, don't read an
article.
Yeah,
no, and I've got to register and buy to...
fuck off
The
Age.
All right, here's Noah Bolanski, Chicago Reader, top critic.
They've had it for a year, so.
Yeah, they've had it for a year. The effort is appreciated as far as it goes, but it doesn't matter how enthusiastically you dial if you end up with a bore on the other side of the line.
What are you talking about?
I think they're using a phone analogy.
Yeah, I get that, but what are they talking about?
Yeah, they're like, okay, devil's advocate. I think maybe not enough happened for the general audience.
Yeah.
Like, half the movie you're with Mason Thames, and he's not doing much.
No, it's really just the life and times of Finney.
Yeah. Oh, someone please make a comic. He's not achieving much. Like, nothing's really changing, not until that end final scene everything kind of comes together. And when you're with his sister Gwenny, she's praying to Jesus, which is who she
what
thinks
the fuck Jesus.
Yeah, I know, right?
That she's, one scene opens up thing. Yeah.
What the fuck,
what Jesus?
The fuck, Jesus?
Beginning to think you don't exist.
Yeah, she like she's not doing much either. Yeah. Oh no. I'll say it. I think ultimately in this movie not a lot of things are actively happening.
I kind of like that, though.
Yeah, it's...
Because
it's
that's how it would really be if someone got kidnapped. Oath. They'll go search for a bit, then they'll investigate, and you wouldn't have the kid...
Yeah, absolutely.
Intense.
And when I watched this movie, my first thought when he comes out of the basement is like, fuck, he's taking that pretty well. I don't know, he's in shock, but he's taking it pretty well. But I remembered last night, Alyssa's watching these like true crime interview interrogation videos to fall asleep. There's one dude that had, he kidnapped like a distant friend or whatever. Killed her boyfriend and locked her in a shipping container for like 2 months. There's footage of like body cam footage of the cops opening it up and like uncuffing her and bringing her to the station. And she's just spouting facts. Like just, he's in the house. I've been in here for 2 months. He's made me do sexual favors. He's raped me. He's killed my boyfriend. He's buried in the backyard. Like she's just spouting as much information as possible.
You just reminded me of when Finney walks out and he's hugging his sister. He goes, in the basement.
Basement.
Literally just says basement. Yeah. And they just go, fuck Finney, get the guy.
Yeah. You over there, take care of the kids.
Literally, that's it. Just goes, basement.
Yeah. I want to know what happened to that dog.
Eating food.
It wouldn't take that dog that long to eat that steak.
No, it wouldn't.
It'd go in one gulp.
That dog's as big as my dog's stone. Yeah. Fucking, he's swallowing that fucker whole two
chews. Absolutely. And that dog looked hungry.
I think they'd go down, see the dog, maybe freak out a little bit, but they wouldn't shoot it. They'd get animal control in there.
Obviously. I didn't think they'd shoot it. I just wanted to know what
In the 80s, it was very common that if they perceived an animal as dangerous, one shot. It's up until recently that they were like, no, animal control needs to be called.
Fuck me. That's just depressing. Yeah. Oh, you want to be depressed some more? We have Charles Bralamsko from Inside Hook, another top critic. A limited location, a restricted number of characters and narrative model rooted in sparseness, all demanded finesse in order to be spun into the feature-length cinema. And the black phone shows why, for worse more often than for better.
A limited cast and a limited set, and the movie was as good as it is fantastic.
Yeah. Like, these are challenges in cinema.
We have three sets, maybe four. They have...
The classroom, the basement and the house that Finney was in, the house across the street, Max's room.
I think the house across the street was built the same as the house, just for the scenes they emptied it. It looked very similar.
Actually makes sense. That would actually make sense.
Very limited places you go to, and they go for a small amount of time.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And they have maybe 10 characters recurring.
Yeah, 10 named characters. But, like, that's all good.
Challenges, like you said.
Yeah,
and then you get to movies that, you know, have eight times the budget and they have 400 characters, and you got a message going, you know that character, he had the hair with the cape and he did the rah, and it's like, yeah, this guy. It's like, yeah, he was good. Whereas this, you can go, the bad guy.
Yeah.
Oh, I know who the bad guy is.
Yeah. Which I also want to say, all the posters and the promotional art for The Black Phone is all Ethan Hawke. It's all
I had
Ethan
no idea
Hawke.
What the movie was about.
Yeah, well I did see the trailer like 6 months ago.
I saw the trailer on TV,
mm.
But I searched The Black Phone to find out whether it was the movie and whatnot, and then found out that we were getting it. And I was like, what the fuck? It says it's in 2021. What the fuck? And then I did some more research and found out that it's because of lockdown and shit. And then, just found out there's about a black phone on a wall that a kid picks up and goes, Domino's Pizza. That's not how you answer your phone. You don't have a house phone. You're a millennial.
No one has a house phone.
I have a house phone.
Why do you have a house phone? Did you get lumped in and is it linked to your internet?
No.
Okay, good.
Literally, because you don't pay for your house phone anymore connected to your internet. It's literally a bundle. But
yeah, but we literally
only have a house phone because when we moved to the new house, Rhonda was like, oh, well, we've got to have the house phone like at the last one. No one uses it. She even has said to me multiple times, we should unplug that house phone because we keep getting... The only people who call us are people who want to sell us shit.
Exactly. I remember when I was like 10 in the Macquarie Fields house, the only reason we had the phones connected is because there were two wireless handsets and they could be used for an intercom between each other.
Yep.
That's it.
Rhonda had the same thing when we were living in Claymore. She had two handsets, but then she's like, I don't need the second one. But we just literally just have it because Rhonda's old school, and in her head, you need to have the house phone on. She knows, I mean, she knows you don't need to use it because no one does. But it's just like peace of mind, I guess.
Michael breaks his phone every 2 days, so a house phone might actually come in handy. Okay, he can pay for it though. All right. That was The Black Phone. That was episode 13 of What Makes the Cut. I have to ask you the very important question.
That's this many.
It's more than that many, bro.
I'm holding toes too.
Okay. The Black Phone, 2021. Do we put it on the golden record? Do we shoot it into space? Do we let aliens, two galaxies over by the now damaged James Webb telescope.
It's damaged?
Space rocket it. Yeah, it's damaged. Sidebar, all of that time setting up the James Webb telescope, all of that time waiting for it to get into space and to the point where we can take pictures with it, gets hit by a rock. Mm-hmm.
Fuck NASA.
Yeah, I know, right?
It's my favorite thing.
I think it's minor damage, okay. But it's, you still can't fix it.
No.
You know?
Like, just send a guy out there. Fixed.
Shit, what happened to it? Space rock?
Fuck, that would have been going fast.
Does this make the cut?
I want to say yes.
You want to say yes?
I'm going to say yes.
Yes, I absolutely agree. Yeah. I cannot recommend this movie.
If aliens watch this movie, they're going to know how fucked we are.
Absolutely. They're going to be like, well, they fight with each other way more than they would fight with us.
Yeah. Well, let's just go assimilate. With, you know, they won't know lizard people are running their world.
They're already here.
Yeah. That's why they'll assimilate fine.
Yeah. It's half their world too.
Let's go see fucking Terry.
That was a fun one. Yeah. Clocking in at 41 minutes.
Yeah. You want to know the movie I chose?
Josh.
I was on the fence.
What are we watching next week?
I was on the fence. I did say to you that I wanted to give it to you unnamed, but I am going to tell you. But promise me you won't look anything up. You will just watch the movie.
That means you got to make the doc.
Yeah.
Okay.
Completely. That was the plan.
All right. You make the doc.
Yep.
I'm scared. This terrifies
me. I don't know if you've already seen it. It's called Tokyo Gore Police.
Tokyo Gore?
Gore.
Gore Police. Yeah.
Tokyo, G-O-R-E,
Police. Safely say I have never seen a movie or heard a movie called Tokyo Gore Police.
It's a recommendation from a buddy of mine. Actually, four buddies of mine. One of them said it. They're all like, yes!
Fucking hell.
So, Tokyo Gore Police, I think you'll enjoy it.
Nudity?
I don't remember.
Probably won't enjoy it.
You cannot get it dubbed. It is impossible to find dubbed.
That's fine.
But there is not a lot of talking in it. So
then what are we reviewing?
A movie.
Is it?
Yeah. Japanese movie. One of their few live action movies.
Who suggested it?
My mate Dippy.
Fuck.
I was playing some Crew 2, told the boys that, you know, I do a podcast on Saturday, so I won't have much time Saturday. And they're like, oh, what do you do? And I was like, movies. They're like, oh, and I told them the whole basis of it. And then they're like, can we suggest movies? I was like, hit me. And then one of them was like, oh, you should watch this movie. You should watch this movie. And I was like, oh, no. Tokyo Gore Police. I was like, I'm going to do it.
Okay. Thanks, Dippy, for your fucking user-suggested piece of shit thing that I'm going to have to sit through and watch. Yeah. I've heard stories about you. I know who you are. Did Morph have an opinion?
I don't think he was in the call.
Damn.
Muppet it was.
Muppet backed it. All right. Then fuck off, Dippy. Thanks, Muppet, for this user-suggested.
I blame Muppet for everything, too. It's always Muppet's fault.
That was What Makes the Cut. I very much appreciate it.
Thanks for listening. I love you all.
No, fuck them. I appreciate you coming to my house every week and watching a movie.
I got my license back, guys. So I was able to drive here myself. I didn't need my breeding mare to bring me. Ryan was not expecting that last part.
That's where I'm going to fade out. I can't. Not after that. Not after that.